I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. How are we doing, Soto? No April Fools going your way this week?
Yeah, I actually did have an April Fools.
You got fooled?
I got fooled big time. So I sometimes, like when I want to just make my life easier, I'll order ahead from like Sam's Club and I'll just pick it up. Like they'll just drop it off to my car.
Yep.
The only reason I use Sam's Club, well, no, one for the gas, but two, because the rotisserie chickens are $5. Mm. But buy two of them and I'll shred one and I'll make tacos or whatever with it, whatever I want to make. And the other one, I'll just put in the freezer until I'm ready to eat it and I'll take it out, defrost it, and it's fine.
Delicious and functional and practical.
Very versatile. Very versatile meat, that chicken. So I go there. I'm at where I'm supposed to be at the time I'm supposed to be there, and I'm sitting there, and this chick walks up, and she's like, "Hello, sir. Can I have your name? I'm going to introduce myself, whatever, whatever." Okay. Well, I don't have any chickens, but if you want to wait a half hour, I'm like, no.
I have roosters.
I mean, you knew I was going to be here at this time. You knew what my order was. You took my money. Where's my freaking chicken? Well, you know, she gave me all these excuses. I'm like, just return everything. I don't need anything. If you don't have my chicken, I got to go. I got another job I got to go to. So I took off. So like now I don't have any, like I have zero, no proteins in my house. So I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? What am
your
I
gonna boyfriend make? Didn't leave any on the sheets?
Nothing. Not even, I can't even suck anything off the pillow. So I made myself an esquite. I had a can of corn. I put it in a bowl, put it in the microwave, drained it, put some butter, some mayonnaise, hot sauce, some lemon juice, some casica cheese, some cotija, mix it up. And that's what I have for dinner with a can of squirt.
I was going to say, that's like, oh, it's such a bachelor pad style, but that's even more elaborate. Like it just started like with just a can of corn, but at like my old bachelor pad, I would have stopped there. Like shit. All I got is
maybe you put a little bit of salt on it.
I'll just drink three more beers to make up for the lack of food that I have. I'll just drink more beer to get my calories. I had the exact opposite dining experience tonight.
Okay.
I had the best homemade burger I've ever had in my life.
Really?
It was phenomenal. Nothing special I did. It was just cast iron, cheese, lettuce, tomato.
I love cast iron.
That was it, right? That was it. It was Signature Select tri-tip with garlic and peppercorn beef patties.
Are they from like from the Vons grocery store? Vons.
Yeah.
Ah, those are good, man.
Dude, the tri-tip with the peppercorn. We had the four patties between me and my wife and the daughter. I was like, all right, I'll have a burger. Wolfed down the burger. I'm like, I'm having another one. Ate another one.
Jesus.
And I tried to like pressure my daughter to like, hey, you got to take a shower. You got to go to bed early. Let's go. Because she wasn't done with hers because I want to finish her half of her burger.
Jesus.
I had 2.5 full tri-tip cheeseburgers. I could eat 6 more of them.
Your asshole is going to pay tomorrow. It's going to be a rough out.
Burgers aren't that rough on my asshole.
It's a lot of meat, man. But 2.5. Those are big. I know what you're talking about. Those are big, big burgers. You probably have almost a pound of meat in your fucking asshole right now.
That was about 2 hours ago.
And that's making its way through.
I could eat 4 more. It was so good. Something about like a perfect burger. Like it's nowhere near the fanciest food, but just a good burger.
It hits everywhere. It hits everywhere. But man, in the morning, you better put some roughage in you or something. Eat some broccoli or something green, man.
Follow me on social media at RJ Clifford MMA. I'll keep you updated on the circumstances.
Those are like 3rd-pound patties, dude. Those are big patties. And
I'm a big boy.
You had 2.5 of shit, man.
So good.
Yeah, like
so good. I'm seriously, I can eat 3 more.
That's a lot of beef, dude.
Oh yeah,
it's a lot.
When it's that quality, though, like you can tell when it's a really quality meat, it doesn't have like the nitrates and the fillers and like the preservatives. It doesn't like dump you know on what? You as bad, you know? It's like when I, like every time I go to Paris for UFC every September, I'll eat just cheese, dough, booze, eat everything. I always lose like 3 pounds. because it's perfectly clean, like, shit. Quality, clean. It's like literally from like the cheese is from a cow that was 30 miles away straight to the processor. Like everything is just super fresh. We're just not all this terrible American food that just like weighs us down.
Yeah, man. Those pre-made like gourmet patties from the grocery store, those are super underrated.
Yeah.
So those are fried chicken. Vons' fried chicken is delicious. I don't know if you've ever had it. It's really good.
The delis at grocery stores.
Yeah, man. They're stepping up their game, dude.
Kept me alive in junior college.
Well, dude, like now that all the, in California at least, all the fast food workers are making $20 an hour. A freaking Famous Star combo, just a regular one patty Famous Star combo is like $15.
Yeah.
Like it's cheaper than freaking go to the grocery store.
When are you going to replace all these workers with robots, please? Can we start replacing these workers with robots, dude, so I can start affording my
You really think they're going to drop the price? No, that price is never going to go down. So even if they get rid of the workers, it doesn't matter. It's still going to be high.
I just want the robots to be the employees. So when they malfunction and become self-aware, they can like tear the place down and we can loot it. That's what I'm looking for. I'm going Terminator style.
Yeah.
Not price gouging. You need to become self-aware. So I've always like really enjoyed John Middlecoff's podcast and programming because he was a radio guy, California guy, was a former scout. He did the radio show for the Raiders in the Bay Area back in the Oakland days until he was fired. So it was always kind of enjoyed listening to him. He's got a little bit of connections in that area. So he had Mike Mayock on his podcast this week. And there was some pretty good of Mike. He asked him a lot of just stuff like, hey, what do you think of, you know, Caleb Williams? What do you think of this receiver class? Just, you know, all kinds of stuff. But he opened up with a lot of talk about, and he's also like kind of kissed his ass about like, hey, what have you been up to these days? Like, you're so good. Like, as you kind of butter up your guest for a 30-minute interview. Well, there's three things he hit on that I thought was really interesting that I wanted to share with you. He said a lot of things that were interesting. Again, I recommend you listen to the whole thing. But for our purposes, there were three things he hit on that I wanted to get to. This was the first one. And this is him. I believe the question was, they were kind of talking about like John Gruden and him being at the Raiders working with like a buddy, right? Because they kind of like, you know, Mayock and Gruden kind of knew each other and then got into the quarterback position. Take a listen.
I thought John did an unbelievable job with Derek Carr getting the, you know, since John left, Derek has gone downhill. Greg Olsen, our offensive coordinator, also had a big hand in that.
So he made a point about Gruden as a coach, what he was capable of. And I think he made a really good point. Outside of the 2016 season of Derek Carr, Carr's best years were pretty much under Gruden. I would say, like, if you look at all of his 10 years in the league, number one was that 2016 when he got third in MVP voting. And then under Gruden was more or less his best years. Not just statistically, but also like you notice some of his biggest weaknesses he got a little better at. He was a little better pocket awareness. Like he started moving around the pocket a little bit better. He continued to be really better at the line of scrimmage. It's like pre-snap reads continue to get better and better. And it was a lot of things where you'd think, yeah, well, he's just becoming a veteran. He's getting more experience. He just naturally get better at that. Well, then why did he fall apart with Josh McDaniels? And why did he still suck with the Saints? Right? Like it's like, yeah, you'd think so. You'd think it's things that you just develop on your own over time, but he's gotten worse at the things he got better on under Gruden.
Yeah. It's a shame for him because that really was the perfect mix of like the carrot and the whip for Carr and how to deal with him, because he did get much better pre-snap and he was using his legs a little bit more. He still wasn't great post-snap. He was like, if a team figured out how to fool him post-snap, that's when you get those like super awful, like every, like once a year, maybe twice a year, you'll have a game where it's like, what the hell? They scored nothing or 3 points or didn't get the ball past the 50. Like it's post-snap, you could still fool him, but then now he's like, he's having those troubles pre-snap too, where he's the pre-snap reads. And he kind of figured it out as the year went along and he got a little bit better towards the end of the year. But yeah, man, that's a shame for him that he's fallen off in the places that were kind of like lifting him up, because he's not getting better post-snap. It's just the pre-snap stuff that's fooling him now.
And it's such another good part of like two things, that the quarterback coach relationship is so important. Like we talk about, you know, with the draft coming up and you know, there's like a less than 50, you know, 500 shot rate of quarterback, like first round quarterbacks, right? Half of them flame out and don't pan out, right? so many of it is down to coach, the city you're in, the ownership, the rest of the team. Like, it's just, there's just so much stuff that goes into it. And, you know, like, would, you know, I think pretty much everyone would agree that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is better than Joe Burrow, but would Joe Burrow be better if he had Andy Reid? You know, would he be better than Patrick Mahomes was in Cincy? You know, like, would, like, if, and, you know, it pains me to say, but the Chiefs are, you know, a well-run organization. Joe Burrow took the Bengals to the Super Bowl. The one of the jokes of the league to the Super Bowl. And that's the same thing with Carr. Like, if Carr, you know, we love the Raiders, but the 10 years with the Raiders, like, he was the worst defense in football, tons of turnover, right? And so maybe it was just Gruden, but maybe it was also Carr just 3 years of the same head coach. Like, for that was the first time ever, just the consistency, maybe just the consistency was all it took for Carr to get some of his best years. Or maybe it was Gruden, I don't know. But it just, all of this just makes Josh McDaniels look even worse. When he was, like, getting better and better under Gruden, the offensive guru comes in and Carr gets literally his worst season under JMD.
Yeah, pretty bad. He just, you know, we saw it. We saw it unfold, you know, in front of our faces. You know, when you're that unaware, not just of yourself, but of the situation, and you're inflexible and stuff, it's not going to work out well for you. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're unaware and you're not flexible, yeah, it's things. You have a very, very thin lane of success.
Yeah.
If that's your, you know, if that's your game plan.
And John Gruden, I would still say he is a good coach. Obviously, a terrible GM and roster manager.
Jeez.
And he just didn't pay attention to the defense really all that much, which is like, okay, that's two pretty big things, RJ. How can you be a good coach when you, like, you're so terrible at those two things? But the things he cared about, right? His offense, his quarterback, you know, a style of football that he was, like, trying to fit and make work. Like, he was good. Like, he did do some really, really good things. It was just all overshadowed by the atrocious roster management and how bad the defense was.
So bad. So bad. I mean, they go hand in hand because he, the reason why I think we've had such a promising offseason this year is because we're going studs and duds. We're not signing a ton of guys, but we're getting high end players and just guys that fill roles, and not paying a lot for those guys. Gruden paid a lot for guys who weren't all that good, and he was hoping that they would match the salary once they got back on the field. After they've shown you who they were, okay, I'm gonna pay Carl Nassib this much money because I think he can be better under me. Well, no, he's showing you who he is. You're just on a hope and a prayer, like wishing he gets better because you pay him more. Like, this line doesn't work that way. Yeah. He did that with a lot of different positions. And it didn't work out, man. So he was terrible, and he didn't pay too much attention. He just, like, he threw money at the defense. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, he threw money at, like, two mid-tier guys where he could have gotten one really good linebacker that would have helped out, and you could have had a young guy with him.
Well, you could tell he fell in love with guys. You know what I mean? You could just tell he fell in love. It's like, oh, we need sacks. Get Unique Ngakoue, and we'll have him, like, lift more weights and be a better run stopper. It's like, no, Unique's going to get you your 8 to 10 sacks and literally nothing else.
7 tackles.
And literally nothing else. Like, he's going to take half the plays off. You know,
he'll have under 35 tackles for the season, and 10 of those will be sacks.
And he'll get a, you're right, he'll get his double-digit sacks. That's all, you know, but it's like, no, but he'll, like, we'll have him lifting, and he'll, you know, like, no, we know who these guys are.
Yeah.
You paid him to be something else that didn't make him. Yeah. So, the other thing, Mike Mayock discussed with John Middlecoff for the longest time, for all of Gruden's tenure, it was, is Derek Carr the quarterback? John Gruden doesn't want Carr. He wants to trade him. Oh, he loves Carr. He's going to stick around. Oh, he got Mariota. That means he's trying to push Carr out. All these discussions, right? It was every single season. There was reports
that Florio was, like, front and center at that stuff.
Oh, Florio just spreading misinformation left and right. Like, we did a whole, remember, you did a whole video in, I think it was Gruden's second year, of all the times Florio's like, yeah, Carr's going to be gone. Carr's going to get traded. Yep. Gruden hates Carr. He's going to be gone. And of course, he obviously didn't. Here's Mike Mayock on when Middlecoff asked him, this is that question. Like, there was so much controversy with Carr. Did you guys ever entertain offers or try to shop Derek Carr?
There's always going to be X number of franchise quarterbacks. And that number could be 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it is. And you and I could, you know, could look at a list and you could say there's 5, I could say there's 7. But, you know what it looks like and smells like when they're franchise guys. One group below that, you know, let's say there's 7 or 8, you know, 6, 7, 8 franchise. One group below that's another 5 or 6 guys that I think you can win with, you know, and meaning you can win even up to a Super Bowl with this group of guys as long as you're good enough surrounding them, both on both sides of the ball. I felt strongly that each year with John, Dirk got better. And by the end of the 21 season, whether you were a Dirk Carr guy or not, I think you probably had to say he's a top 12 or 13 quarterback. If you liked him, he might have been 8, 9, 10. If you didn't like him, he was 12, 13, 14. But Dirk was a top 12 quarterback in our opinion. So the question is, somebody can give you a first-round pick. But if you don't have an answer for who's getting under center next year, that first-round pick isn't doing you any good. We never got an answer satisfactory as to how we would replace Dirk. And from our perspective, we're getting better every year. We went from, you know, John's first year, they had 4 wins. Then we went to 7, 8, 10. We thought we were getting better, and we thought Dirk was playing at a higher level each season.
That's probably the most sober 94 seconds on Derek Carr with the Raiders I've ever heard in my life. The most controversial quarterback of the time. And Mayock, I think, nailed it. And that's basic. I think that's 100% explaining Derek Carr's tenure with the Raiders. He wasn't top 10. No one was saying he was this franchise guy that was going to carry him. But he was improving every season under Gruden. He was better than most. And to get a guy better than Derek Carr would have been a giant game of Russian roulette. So they're like, look, we know what we got. He's improving. He's not an MVP or, you know, top 6 or 7 guy. But we don't think we can get better than him. And he's getting better. Let's stick it out.
Yeah, it's all in your risk tolerance. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's that strategy, and then there's like the Steelers. The Steelers have a young quarterback who's ascending. They made the playoffs last year. There were some issues going on at the end, but you know, the quarterback showed some promise and they moved on. He's still in his rookie contract and they moved on. Like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I don't see it. And to have an average to above average quarterback who's, I wouldn't necessarily say that he was uplifting his players to a championship level. He needed too much for what he was being compensated for, is my main thing. Is he needed too much for what you were allotting cap wise. You need to take some of that back and pay him for who he was. And to pay him as one of the top quarterbacks in the league whenever his contract would come up, and for him to be an average to slightly above average quarterback, you know, it's not a recipe for success.
I don't remember the timeline. I don't remember off the top of my head. The Mayock Gruden regime never did a Carr contract, right? When he came in,
you know, his last year was first year of the JMD deal.
That's what I'm saying. So before that, it was Reggie McKenzie So they never did his contract, right? So they were kind of stuck with that contract. Mm-hmm. It was either trade him and hope you get, you know, hope you can replace him, you know, a guy that was third in MVP voting at one time and getting better every season. All right. So it wasn't in their hands, the contract, right? They inherited Derek Carr and
The contract is still working under the team that you're building. Mm-hmm. And I mean, towards the end, the tail end, when the salary cap started jumping up, his last year didn't seem like it was that much. I get where he's coming from, but that is a very like
the problem with it is
it's an antiquated mentality.
Well, this is the problem. If you get comfortable with a good enough quarterback, You don't do it. A good GM and coach would still be developing another quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
Never did. And that was exactly. The thing. Is they're like, oh, we got a guy that's better than average, and we think he's top 12, you know, whatever, around that part. And if we do everything else right, we can win a Super Bowl. So we don't need to worry about quarterback anymore, which was idiotic.
Exactly.
They never took flyers on a fourth rounder.
Never got any overpaid any Marcus vets Mariota, that were, you know, like vets that could actually still play. But look, how about this?
No creativity.
You're a percentages guy, right? You're a percentages guy. So we're saying that, okay, they felt that Derek Carr was good enough. Well, good enough for what? What has he shown you consistently that can lead you to believe that he's going to be good enough for? What is that good enough for? To get you to the playoffs every 4 years? Well, you want more cracks than 25% of the time you go to the playoffs, right? So maybe you need a little bit more there to get more cracks into the playoffs, because the more cracks, once you get in, then anything can happen, right? So it's like there's the reality of the thing. And again, it's context is king. Like we're talking about like young quarterbacks going to situations and stuff like that. But then, you know, a little snapshot of things, and you know, Jimmy Garoppolo's first game with us was the first time we had a lead with 5.5 minutes left and ran out the clock in like 12 years. So Derek Carr never did that. He never was a situational. So there were still things that are not stat-based that were issues.
Well, this is the thing. Is like on a 53-man roster, you're trying to improve all 53 every single season.
And the unless you
have Max Crosby or Devontae Adams or AJ Cole, you should always be trying to improve every position. And they got and Carr was above average, and they got complacent. They're like, oh, that's good enough.
And even with Carr
improving every season, and this is where we never disagreed. It was just like, you know, I say don't get rid of Carr because we don't have a plan to replace him. You're like, you know, take the flyer, move on. He's not going to win it for us. We were always on the same board. It's like, why the fuck are we not developed? Why are we making Nathan Peterman a millionaire every single season? When it should be
no
a fourth rounder, we took a flyer on, develop somebody. Worst case scenario, you get an Aiden O'Connell who can be a backup for 10 years that knows your system. Complete complacency at the quarterback system, at the quarterback position, because they're like, Carr's good enough. Let's worry about something else.
And that's the problem. That's the thing that I always said about him is he's good enough to keep around, but he's not good enough to get you over the hump. Like he needs a lot more help than a lot of the top tier quarterbacks out there that you're wishing he can be. And after so many years, it's like, dude, he is who he is.
He's good enough that bad GMing, you'll put yourself in a hole.
He's good enough to give you a shitty draft pick every year.
I don't want to deal with trying to find another quarterback or deal like take a flyer at fourth. Find some guy. Like obviously the roster needed tons of help, but it's like develop some guys, pick them a veteran that you think can do that. You know, instead of $9 million, and then when they did do that, it was $1 million for Peterman or the highest paid backup in Marcus Mariota, who's literally gotten hurt every season of his career since his senior year of college. Like the two times they tried, it was two absolutely idiotic moves. One of the biggest jokes in the league in Peterman, and Mariota was super overpaid and never can get healthy. Like
it just
that was what was most frustrating for me of the Carr era, which is like he was just good enough, but we're not going to develop anything else, which was so dumb.
Yeah, the guys that they brought in there had no shot of starting. And it just
it was afterthoughts. It was just like, oh, yeah. Oh shit, we need a QB3. Let's do that.
Look, like, you do that. Fine. You do that if you have like, if you have a Mahomes, a Burrow, like a Herbert, a freaking Josh Allen. Like you do that when you have a Aaron Rodgers. You do that when you have those guys. It's freaking Trevor Lawrence. That's when you do that. When you have those kind of quarterbacks, then you can do that.
The 49ers had two starters and still drafted Brock Purdy. Like they had like
pick of the fucking draft. But yeah, I get it.
Still, we didn't even do that. We didn't even draft QB3s.
I never faulted the 49ers for taking a shot and whiffing because they identified the fact that the guy they had wasn't going to be the one to get them there. They swung and they missed and they got lucky with Purdy, but the identifying of the talent and the ceiling of the talent that they had in Garoppolo, they knew they didn't have the guy they needed. So they went and then swung, and sometimes you hit and sometimes you miss. But that's, I'm not going to fault a team for identifying this guy's just, he's not going to do it for us. Maybe this guy will, maybe this guy won't, but I know this guy won't because I've seen him for so long and he's just, it's not going to be him.
In 94 seconds, if Mayock would have said that 2 years ago, we could have saved like two seasons of us yelling at each other.
I could have saved us like a heart attack, fucking coronary, all that shit, fucking stroke.
The last thing Mayock talked about was the infamous 2019 draft class. And when we think about the 2019 draft class, we think of, okay, oh, cool, we got Josh Jacobs late. And then one of the biggest swings and misses in recent memory, Clay Ferrell, and then Jonathan Abram, would have been a pretty good strong safety in 1994, but not in 2024. Here's what Mayock had to say to John Middlecoff on that 2019 draft class.
My first year was what, 2019? And we had three first round picks. And really, you know, of the three, Josh Jacobs is the only one that's become a high level Pro Bowl player. And that's bad. You know, John Abram is in and out of the league, and Clee Ferrell's a good solid player, but not the number four overall pick in the draft. The flip side of that conversation is that we got Max Crosby in the fourth round. You know, we got Hunter Renfrow in the fifth round. We got our punter, who's a Pro Bowl punter as a free agent. We got Keyshawn Nixon, who's now the Packers All-Pro punt returner and starting nickel as a free agent. We got Andre James as a free agent, the starting center. We got Alec Gangold as a free agent. We got five Pro Bowlers in that draft. One of my biggest frustrations is those first-round picks. On the other hand, we did fairly well throughout the draft in 19. We did okay in 21. 20 was a whole different story and highly frustrating. But you got to be honest with yourself. And we did pretty well with the third day guys. But you can't miss on as many first round picks as the Raiders did, as we did.
He ended up perfectly. He ended it perfectly. You can't miss on that many first round picks because they're not equal. After pick, what is after pick 100? Those picks, those guys don't count against your cap. So it's like you're paying big money to these first round picks who are not producing for you. So what do you have to end up doing? Either putting guys that are just slightly better than them, but not as good as they should be because they're not that good a player, or you're paying on top of that, you're paying free agents to take the place of guys that were first round picks who are you already paying a lot of money for. Or God forbid, you just throw them out there because they're first round picks and you want to get your money's without them and they're not any good. And that's what happened.
Picks have a tangible value. Now, of course, like at the end of the day, the pick is only as good as the player and where he plays and what he produces. But on draft day, the pick has a value. It's a stock and it can go up or it can go down. But before like the IPO, there's a value to that thing. And if you're going to blow it, you need to trade it. Like, you're still blowing that big opportunity, that tangible piece of monetary value. It's disappeared. Just because you got lucky with a scratchy lottery ticket you bought $2 for and made 10 grand, that doesn't mean the bad investment still doesn't kick you in the dick. That's what I think Mayock never truly got. Was like, yeah, I whiffed on Clay Ferrell, but I got, you know, Max Crosby in the fourth round. It's like, those two aren't the same. That's not economics. Well, I got a guy. That's all that matters. It's like, no, it doesn't. For the monetary reasons you brought up, there's a cap issue. And two, you've blown the value of that fourth overall pick. Like, we had to lose Khalil Mack to get some of these picks. So you're not just like, well, it didn't work out, but we got someone else.
Amari Cooper too.
And Amari, like, we didn't. We got rid of those two. We lost those two players, and they need to be replaced with that value, and it didn't happen. There's two other parts, man, about this that really stick in my craw. I know why Mayock pushed so hard on, you know, the fourth round or the fifth round or the free agents that he picked up or the undrafted guys that they got was because, like I mentioned before, guys getting drafted, it's not just the man. It's, is the coach good? Is the weight room good? Is the scheme work? Is the city work? Like, you know, all these things are factors. If you're getting Pro Bowl work, like Pro Bowl caliber players on undrafted players, then that means it's not the room. That means it's not the coaching. That means it's not the scheme. That means you're literally just bad at drafting. That you're just drafting the wrong guys. That's what that means. Because you've got guys off the street that no one wanted that are producing. So something's working in that Raider room. Something's working, right? Hunter Renfrow got paid. Max Crosby, one of the best players in football. You know, they found A.J. Cole, best punter in football. Like, room's fine. These guys in there are getting good. Just not the guys you picked up with the most important positions and valuable draft spots in football.
So I'm not a huge cliche guy, but there's like the paralysis by analysis, right? And you really have to dig deep to find those hidden gems late in drafts, right? But if that's your MO with every single pick, you're like falling in love with little things about players who just aren't as good as other players. And a lot of times, I think that's where they fell into, because Mayock is such a tape grinder type of dude where he's going to be like, find these like hidden gems in like, oh, well, this is why he didn't do well. They had him in the wrong spot. He should be an end, not an outside linebacker, or he should be this, not that. And you could put him in better spots to make him better. But if you're looking at that little minutia when it comes to like top of the draft guys,
Clay Ferrell,
dude, I've said this a billion times. There was the top 10 prospects in a draft, the top 10, 11 to like mid 20s, maybe. And then from there to like 50 ish. And then there to like maybe 100, 120. And then it's like all bets are off in like the fourth, fifth, and sixth, seventh round. But those first three rounds are pretty slotted. Like if someone jumps really high and like, whoa, you're like, wait, it's like that guy went way too early. And that was Clelin Ferrell. Clelin Ferrell was like, what, 19, 20-ish, usually going to be around that area. And he went 4. That's way too freaking high. There's no way that should have happened. And unfortunately, they fell in love, like what you said with Gruden falls in love with players, they fell in love with a specific thing about him, not what he showed you on the field. He was a good player on the field, but there was other players that were better than him.
The last thing on the matter that I want to get to is this makes me kind of feel too like a lot of those first rounders, it was a Gruden call.
Oh, yeah.
And when Mayock was so good at, like, you know, finding fourth, fifth undrafted guys, like he was, for all the reasons you brought up, that you could see Gruden's just like, ah, I like the cut of his jib. He's good. He's got a good square jaw.
Yeah. After the second round,
Gruden
hit that freaking, like, craft table.
He got over it. You know what I mean?
He hit the training table. He's eating hot dogs, all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
He wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
That's all Mayock in the last rounds. But again, like if you're differentiating, like trying to find a needle in a haystack, that's a different skill than to, you know, find somebody hiding in a forest. It's a different skill. And you're looking at like super little things to differentiate when you don't have to look that little. You don't have to look that close to differentiate the players from one another.
Yeah. Especially a different skill being like really good at penny stocks. You're like, oh, I think I can get, you know, 1,000% return on this random radar company out of Kansas City. And you're like, ooh, what should I buy? Amazon or Chevron, you know, with my $1 million. I want to get at least a 7% return, right? Like that's what you're doing at those first picks. It's just like all these guys are super badasses. Which one is the, you know, which one's going to give me 10% more? Because you're not going to miss, but you're, you know, which one's going to give me just a little bit more? And you make that decision.
Hey, I bought some of that TKO stock. Thanks very much for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Looking good. Don't
think yet. Yeah.
Looking good. It's looking good.
What'd you buy it at?
I don't know, like 70 something.
No, it's, when did you buy it?
Not when you told me. So it must have been in the high 80s.
A week ago?
It's up today. Let me see.
A week ago? Probably in the mid 80s. It's at 92 now.
Yeah, yeah. It was in the mid 80s. That's what it was.
Mid 80s. Yeah. Yeah. 7%. 7%.
To the moon.
To the moon, baby. To get to the moon, we're going to need a damn good quarterback to get there. I seriously believe this. We talked about it last week. I think the rest of the league is waiting on what the Raiders do. I think that is a giant question mark with every other franchise. What are the Raiders going to do? Are they taking a giant swing and try to trade with the Pats at three? Are they going to wait till five? Are they going to trade back? Are they going to reach, you know, for like a Michael Penix? Are they just going to go, screw it, we're going to roll with Aiden O'Connell and we're going to get a corner? Are they going to go with a tackle? I think all the rest of the league is baffled, which is good. We want everyone to kind of be like waiting, like kind of killing their time and having to be like, shit, here's our 38 contingency plans based on what happens at number 13. Quarterback would be nice. Almost every single quarterback is like trending. Michael Penix Raiders trending. Jordan Travis Raiders pending trending. Jaden Daniels Raiders trending. Let's go through these guys and just kind of like each one, what it takes to get them. What are the odds? How do they fit? How do we feel? Let's start with Michael Penix because he had his top 30 visit today. We're recording this Wednesday night. His top 30 visit. He also said that he's going to visit the Giants, Falcons, and Steelers. And he also saw the Broncos, who held the number 12 pick right before us. He should be there at 13. He should be there at 13. That's a 73% chance he will be available at 13. Do we take him at 13? Trade down? Will he not be there? Am I being too generous? The injury history bother you? Being a lefty bother you? Oh my God, did you see his 40 time? How can we possibly not get him? Have you seen his deep ball? How can we not get him? Wait, he had three top 15 receivers to throw to. He's really not that good. There's a lot swirling around Michael Penix. Where do you stand?
Yeah, we don't take him at 13. You don't take him at 13. Mm-hmm. Now, he may end up being your starting quarterback if you take him. Just the value is that you can get him in, if you trade up in the mid-20s, something like that. You can get him in that area. Trade back into the first round. It's just, I don't think the gap is that big between Penix and some of the other guys you could get value wise a little bit later. I'm not saying that they're as good a prospect, but what they lack is definitely not something that is insurmountable, you know. We're like, oh, I got this guy. It's like, man, this guy's just, you know, he ain't going to be able to do it because look at him. You could tell he's not going to be as good. Well, no, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Like you said, he did, you know, Penix did have three NFL, you know, receivers throwing to, you know, one of the best, you know, offensive minds in college football coaching him. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, he had a lot of stuff going for him and he's very talented himself. But, you know, take a step back and he's not that guy, not at 13.
Well, there's too many insanely good wide receivers, corners, tackles, four quarterbacks. It seems, right? It seems like, remember when Will Levis was gonna be the second overall pick last draft? There's all these experts saying that, and you know, that didn't happen, right?
Look, man, he should have been,
right? As of now, I tend to kind of believe that there'll be at least four quarterbacks picked before Michael Penix. I think semi-confident, but God only knows, right? There's just, and again, it's not just you're drafting like what you like, what you don't like. It's what would you be missing out on instead? And there's just so many good wide receivers, so many good cornerbacks, so many good tackles. And these are positions that people desperately need. Like, tackles ain't cheap. If you can get a first round tackle and pay him a rookie wage for four and a half, five seasons, amazing. Every team needs cornerbacks. Half the league needs a new quarterback. There's like multiple generational wide receivers in this draft. That's what you're missing out on. And the Raiders really need a number one corner. The Raiders really need some linemen. The Raiders, sure, they need a quarterback. And obviously, you need a quarterback more than anything. But do you want the fifth best quarterback in the draft? It's tough. I think I like Michael Penix more than most, right? We're both West Coast guys, watched a lot of Pac-12 football, watched a lot of Washington.
He's good, man.
Dude, that long ball.
He's one of the sleeper picks when I said, hey, there's 5-6 guys next year that are just as good as the best guy this year. I'll stand on that mountain for because I watched the tape. Next year, there's Shedeur Sanders, and that's pretty much it as far as like the top level guys. There's some guys out there, but I mean, Shedeur Sanders is maybe a little bit better prospect right now than Penix right this second.
The really good wide receivers, I think he knew how to I think he knew how to throw to really good wide receivers too, right? It's like, look, he's covered. Let me go back shoulder. My guy will beat him. I don't think he's going to make those decisions if he has a mediocre mediocre wide receiver. And he's not gonna be, if he goes to the Raiders, he's not going to be thrown to mediocre wide receivers, you know?
Nope, not at all.
Do what you did with Devontae Adams that you did in Washington. The injury history has been clean for 2 years, which is a good sign. I also think, you know, once he gets into the NFL and he's a pro and he's got access to HGH and the really good, you know, I think he's got some really good medical stuff that can help him get stronger, keep those ligaments and tendons nice and tight with the Humble Pharmaceuticals and the really good. I think he'll be a lot better off injury wise. I think that's a little bit over exaggerated. The whole lefty thing people were flipping out about, I think, is a little over exaggerated. It is a little bit of a pain.
Rory jumped down my throat.
Rory had a big one.
Christ.
Rory saw one tweet and went with it. And he's not wrong, but like, look,
yeah,
there's tons of lefty quarterbacks that have been successful, and all those issues that he talked about, the defense has to deal with it. The defense isn't used to a lefty quarterback either, so they have to make the same adjustment.
Mark Brunell's backup quarterback wasn't a lefty. Boomer Esiason's backup quarterback wasn't a lefty. Tua's backup quarterback is not a lefty. It's not that big a deal.
It's all the things he said are true, but not insurmountable, and the defense has to deal with those issues too.
Not to the degree that he was saying.
Exactly. Like, the defense has to make all those adjustments when it's a lefty quarterback that Rory was talking about. So that's not a big deal for me either. The speed is nice. Oof, that was pretty. That was a nice little update. Seeing that Pro Bowl.
Pro Bowl speed. Quarterbacks don't need to be shifty. Okay. I would give me a quarterback with straight line speed. Get to the fucking sticks as fast as you can.
And then get as much grass on those pants as you can.
Get out of bounds and get down. Yeah. I don't need you to be, I don't need you to juke anybody. Okay.
Tuck and run. Like you're robbing a liquor store, right?
Yep. Get out of there.
Just tuck and run.
Just get out. When you're robbing a liquor store, get out of the spotlight of the lights in the front. Just get to the dark. Just get out of that spotlight and run away. That's what we need to do. I'm cool with straight line speed.
BetMGM put some odds out on where he can land. Vikings number one at plus 275. Raiders number two, plus 350. Broncos plus 500, even though the Broncos picked before us. Seahawks plus 600 staying in Washington. And then Giants plus 1,200. Now, again, these like odds, like you can't go to BetMGM and make this bet. It doesn't exist. Like this is all promotional shit. But it's, I feel like it gets a pretty good kind of like taste of where it's going to go. I still feel like Vikings are going to four. I still think Vikings are.
Well, the Vikings they did that preemptive move, so they have the ammo now to get up there, and that's kind of they're doing what I wanted to do with our trade up scenario, is to trade up to get into that kind of striking range, and you know, we'll see how it works out. I think if, Jordan, like you're going to talk about in a second, Jordan Travis, if we're able to trade up, if we're able to trade up into those top couple of picks, we're trading up for Jaden Daniels. Okay. If we stand put and maybe trade back into the first, or by some miraculous, you know, stroke of God, Penix falls to us at 44. Then it's going to be him. And if we don't, then we may have to reach maybe a round early for Jordan Travis, just to make sure we get a guy that we're comfortable with. But those seem to be the guys that have similar skill sets. They played in similar offenses as far as what they were asked to do. They're very similar. What I'm trying to say, they're very similar, like scouting tapes as far as what they were asked to do. And it's just to different degrees. I think that Jaden Daniels has, you know, the best parts of Penix and the best parts of Jordan Travis. So he has the best parts of those two in one. And then you have maybe not as shifty, elusive a quarterback with Penix, even though he's fast, he's maybe not that shifty. And then you have a guy that who's super shifty and mobile as any in the draft, but he doesn't have as strong as arm as like a Penix does. So there's, but they're as far as their scales, they're pretty similar as far as their skill sets and the offenses that they ran.
Let's get to Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is the wet dream of the Raiders. He wants to be a Raider.
That's Antonio
Pierce wants him. Obviously, you know, the whole history, coach him at Arizona State, the whole nine yards. Stud athlete, unbelievable arm, fantastic quarterback, right? That's the wet dream. That is the shooting for the moon, you know, best case scenario. Insert slogan here. That's Jaden Daniels for the Raiders. Dan Graziano of ESPN said, the two that you hear most strongly in the running to trade up for Jaden Daniels are the Minnesota Vikings and the Las Vegas Raiders. Those would be big jumps for both those teams, and it could really depend on what happens at the very top of the draft. If we assume Caleb Williams goes first to the Bears, then what does Washington do? Washington takes Jaden Daniels. That might make the Vikings or the Raiders less motivated to go up if Daniels is the guy they like over Drake May. That's the other part of this equation, of the Jaden Daniels equation. What does Washington do it to? It seems completely true that the top three are going quarterback and that someone's going to trade Arizona at number four for a quarterback. If Jaden Daniels is off the board at two or three, that's a big trickle-down effect. I still think the Vikings move up to four and get one of the top four. I would say if Jaden Daniels isn't in the top four, I'd say there's 0% chance the Raiders are going to give up, you know, two firsts and whatever to get into the top four.
Yeah, it's Jaden Daniels or bust as far as moving up, because we all know that
that's what you want. Do you think that's what the brass are thinking?
Let's go. That's what the Raiders are thinking. That's the guy. If we're gonna move up for a guy, it's gonna be someone that they're comfortable with, that they know his makeup, and you can't put a value on having coached somebody before, even in the Senior Bowl, how he got those late round guys and those late sleepy picks because we had coaches at the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. And when you coached a guy, when you recruited a guy out of high school and you coached him in college, or you coached with him and you know him, that there's that closest where you go, okay, I know him and I have a little bit extra with him. I can push him a little bit extra. I can do things more with him than I can with others. And I think that's the guy that they're targeting. I'm not saying that they're stuck on him or like a Gruden, like, oh, this guy's going to be my guy no matter what. But that's the target. That's the target that they're aiming for. And that's going to be the big shot.
Few people have more say in that building that don't wear suits than Devontae Adams. Max Crosby might be number one. Devontae, he's a little bit more senior, might also be number one.
Max Crosby got a head coach hired, so.
Right? Well, Devontae said the same things too.
He echoed what Max said.
He didn't make a threat, but he
co-signed. I think Max was the primary signer on that.
Wherever it is, 1A, 1B, what Devontae Adams says and wants in that building is listened to.
Yeah, huge weight.
He posted on his Instagram story a shot of Jaden Daniels. My resume speaks for itself. Jaden Daniels. Devontae Adams posted that.
Yep.
We know how cryptic, Devontae's a little older than most NFL players. Not the cryptic, I want the attention, I want to stir things up. He's a meat and potatoes, straightforward guy. What he says, what he means, doesn't want to play the games. He's one of those guys, right? Thank God. Thank God an amazing wide receiver. We just saw Stephon Diggs get traded for being a diva, right? Like, thank God Devontae Adams just like, I'm just here to work and win. Like, let's just get this shit figured out. Stop playing games. For him to come out and openly advocate for not only one of the quarterbacks in the draft, not only for one of the quarterbacks in the draft, the Raiders have to move heaven and earth to get, but not one of the two quarterbacks that are currently on the roster with Devontae Adams and the Raiders. That speaks volumes, especially coming from Devontae. They don't have history. He's not a Fresno State guy. Dude, LSU and Arizona. Like, it speaks volumes that Devontae posted that about Jaden Daniels.
Again, I go back to what we were talking about with the whole Carr thing, is identifying what this person is, what this player is. He's identifying who he has at quarterback right now. He's like, I can't. What are you doing? What do you want?
Jaden Daniels? No? Okay. Sorry.
Jaden Daniels?
Jaden Kibble. No Kibble?
Okay. No, he already ate this fool. So it's identifying who this player is. And even though you do expect a jump between year one and year two for Aiden O'Connell, right? There's still a ceiling that somebody has. There's still things that you've seen as Devonta Adams. You've seen what it looks like. Even with Jordan Love, you've seen what it looks like. It's like, okay, well, does he have it? And if he doesn't, or if it's going to take some Herculean, jump in skill set. Yeah, I want someone else who has the skills. Intangibles are great, but give me some tangibles too.
If you're Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, how are you feeling about this? That he's advocating for a guy that's, again, not on the team, not within striking distance of your number 13. It's like I want you guys to move heaven and earth to not have Aiden O'Connell throw me passes in 2024.
Dude, Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, they know what this deal is. They know what the score is, okay? And they also know, just like you said, that it's not a sure thing just because you pick a quarterback high that they're going to end up being any good.
Yeah.
So just stick your head down, do the work, get as good as you can, because that's all you can do. All you can do is be as good as you can be as a player. And if the guy is just better than you, well, then guess what? You're going to be holding the clipboard.
It's interesting, too, that he posted it because, obviously there's going to be conversations between Tom Telesco and AP with Devontae. I'm sure Devontae doesn't feel that he has to be asked to give his opinion. And I'm sure AP and Telesco would welcome his opinion on things.
I'm sure.
It's interesting that he posted that to me. Like, he could easily just knock on Telesco's door and be like, hey, guys, I am advocating for Jaden Daniels. Like, that's who I want. Look, I know how this business works. I know we're at 13. I know it's a big sacrifice. I just want you to say, like, if whatever my vote counts for, if you're on the fence, that's where I'm going with it. Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I imagine the closed-door conversation went with Devontae Adams and Telesco and AP. For him to post it and make it a thing, because he knows it's going to make waves. He knows all the Raiders creators and journalists are going to be talking about it. He knows it's going to make waves. I wonder why. Because he's not I want the attention guy. No. He doesn't want to stir things up.
It's just very truthful. He's very straightforward, man. This is how he feels. Mm-hmm. I've seen this kid. I've heard a lot of him. Probably, AP probably talks about him a lot. He knows him. He knows him more than he knows. Then I think any NFL coach, head coach, knows these players coming out. AP knows him more than anyone. Any of the other coaches know these players coming out. Maybe Harbaugh and McCarthy, but Harbaugh's not picking a quarterback.
Yeah.
But you look at it from that perspective, and he probably heard a lot of good things. Watched his tape, and you see things here and there. Like, yeah, man, this is the guy. Like, I see a lot of good things in him. I see a lot of traits that I saw in Aaron Rodgers in this guy.
I think there's one of two reasons why Devontae Adams posted that. One of them, it's the misinformation lying game. The Raiders aren't going for Jaden Daniels, but they want everyone to think that the Raiders are trading up. What are we going to do after they trade up? Oh, we better trade up. We better trade up to number two or number four, or because the Raiders are going to take them, right? Like, either that, which is very possible, and it's chestnut checkers if that's what they're doing. I would love it if that's what the Raiders are doing. If Tom Telesco and AP are like, all right, Max, I want you to tweet about this defensive end out of Michigan and how awesome he is. And hey, Devontae, I want you to act like we want this guy because we're going another direction or whatever, right? And Mike Mayock discusses with John Middlecoff in during their interview. Middlecoff asked Mayock, it's like, hey, is it weird with you when when Marcus Mariota came to the Raiders, how you had him on your draft board at like number two? Like, you can go to these players and be like, I like you. I want you. And I knew it from the beginning because look, I was on TV saying that 7 years ago, right? Like, he's got receipts. Like, I've got receipts saying you were my guy. I wonder if Davante Adams is doing that with Jayden Daniels. It's like, even before the draft, even when we had, let's be honest, a very, very long shot of getting up to a position where we can draft you, Jayden Daniels, I was on the record that you were my guy. I had two quarterbacks on our roster that I like, that I fully respect. Aiden O'Connell's great. Gardner Minshew, he's a Raider. Glad they're here. They're my teammates. But even with them on the roster, even with multiple quarterbacks in this draft available, I advocated for you, Jayden Daniels, 3 weeks before the 4 weeks before the draft. Talk about confidence building for a dude coming into a room. If we draft Jayden Daniels and he walks into Vegas, that Friday after we draft him on Thursday, Devontae gives him a bro hug. Says like, I told you, bro. 4 weeks ago, I said, you're the guy, and here you are. Let's get to fucking work. Here's the playbook. There's some cleats. Let's throw some passes.
Yeah, I mean, if Jayden Daniels wasn't already like going to be yes sir enough to Davante Adams, you put that in the mix. And listen, man, I got my name on you. Okay,
that's how you alpha somebody in a loving way.
Yeah,
it's like, all right, I just made you my little brother with the best intentions.
Yeah, I got my name on you, so we got to get to work.
Yeah, don't fail because you're gonna make both of us look stupid.
Yeah, for sure.
The incumbent is Aiden O'Connell. QB1 as of this second for the Raiders is Aiden O'Connell. And if I had to take odds of who's going to be the starting quarterback week one, it's probably going to be Aiden O'Connell, because I think he beats out Gardner Minshew, and you've got all these other, hopefully we draft somebody. I think we'll draft somebody, but who knows, right? So you're betting those odds against everyone else. He's a less than 50% chance of being QB1 week one, but he has the highest odds of being QB1 of any other quarterback with the Raiders currently. And this comment from Antonio Pierce only drives that home even more. At the end of the day, listen, Aiden O'Connell played his ass off. He did a hell of a job for us, Antonio Pierce said. You're talking about a kid that has the mental toughness to play in the National Football League. Listen to this part. Whatever happens and whatever we do, it has to go through Aiden O'Connell. Being honest with you, because he's earned that right. Soto, is he hyping up his second year quarterback and just instilling him with confidence as a good coach does? And he's talking to the media, but really he's talking to his quarterback? Or is he 100% truthful? Does he have so much confidence in Aiden O'Connell that it's his job until someone rips it from his giant palms?
I think it's both. I think that he's speaking the truth, and that truth is, and I think Aiden O'Connell knows it's the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm good enough to play in this league. I had a less than optimal rookie season circumstance wise. And, I still perform well, and I got better towards the end. So with a little more continuity, a little bit more structure and a little bit more attention, maybe, who knows what I can do. But yeah, he's the starting quarterback to end the season last year for the last 9 games, and he's still on the team. So yeah, you have to beat out, the number one. He's the number one, and you have to beat him out. So it seems pretty like Captain Obvious, but the way he put it was pretty nice.
There's a part of me that, and again, I mentioned it multiple times, and it's still kind of in me, where Antonio Pierce is just thinking to himself, I'm a defensive head coach. I won a Super Bowl with the defense, with Eli Manning, who's a 500 quarterback. We could win with a run game in defense. We can do it. Like, we don't need to get assets at quarterback. We can do it with a run game in defense. And if that's your goal, Aiden O'Connell fits that mold, right? Just like, they get cheap fourth rounder in a rookie contract. We can do this. I think that's his also fallback a little bit. His contingency plan, if he doesn't get a quarterback, it's like, this is my plan all along. Aiden O'Connell, protect the ball, get us 24 points. We'll let Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins and Jack Jones take care of the rest.
Yeah, I mean, even if they don't get the quarterback that they're looking for early, he can always say, look, it doesn't matter where we got a quarterback. They still had to go through Aiden O'Connell, and Aiden O'Connell won't beat them all out. So he's still our number one. Yeah. And I mean, about that mentality of like, we just need somebody to like not turn the ball over. I don't know if Marvin Lewis thinks that way. Mm-hmm. He may have thought that way when he was coaching Cincinnati, but I don't think he thinks that way now. I don't think Tom Coughlin thinks that way. A lot of the guys, I don't know if Hugh Jackson thinks that way. I think the guys that are advising him know and have a little bit more perspective now that they've been away from the game for a little bit. that you need a lot more than just, you know, being tough minded to be a good quarterback in the NFL.
I don't think Telesco thinks that way either. But I don't know, man. Something about just like a super hyped defensive player. You can't. It's in your DNA. Like, you can't get it out of your bones. Like, yeah, I think if you asked him, hey, do we need a really good quarterback to win a Super Bowl? I think he's going to probably say, like, yes, right? I think his mind is going to say that. I think his answers are going to replicate that. But I just think he's like,
telling you no.
In his soul, like deep down in his plums, he's like, I'm gonna win this with my Packers. Daniel Carlson kicking 450 yarders for us. That's 12 points. Jack Jones gives us a pick six. And then we'll just have, you know, Zeus just 4 yards in a cloud of dust. Control the clock.
Do you see him curling like 175 pounds?
AP?
No, freaking Zeus.
Oh.
He's just like a freaking just curling like 20 times. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
That's so sweet because it's such a pointless lift for football. You know what I mean? It's just like, look how unnecessary.
Give you a good squeeze. Like, he give you a good squeeze on the ball.
Which is obviously, you know, like so drastically, like so much more important than deadlifts. And
I'm sure he does that too.
Yeah, I'm clearly, but I just love it when like superstar athletes do the beach muscle lifts really well. You're just like, yeah, I know you can bench 650 or, you know, squat 650. But look how good my muscles are going to look at the MGM pool party. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ready to do some what up winbacks?
Yeah.
Good. Mac BHD1. Thank you so much.
McBud HD, baby.
Memberships are open. We appreciate you being
a first member, man. A very first one.
Honorary member. Won't be the last member. He's the first member. I would have said about six, talking about how desperate we are for what level of desperation are we for a quarterback this draft. I would have said, past tense, six, by the way things are playing out. Now it's more like three in regards to the 2024 draft. All the other teams are going for quarterbacks this year. Maybe we have a better chance of a quarterback next year, regardless of how we finish in the standings.
I understand the logic. The problem is the talent isn't always the same at quarterback every year. Mm-hmm. Shedeur Sanders would be like a Michael Penix-ish 5-6 this year. Mm-hmm. I think next year, unless he improves on a lot of things that he needs to improve on, he's not going to be a Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Caleb Williams-esque. And now, if you think, depending on who you believe, a J.J. McCarthy-esque prospect. He's going to be the best quarterback next year in the draft, the best prospect coming out. But when you rank him, is he as high as some of these guys? He's more so in the range of the Penix and Bo Nix than of the other guys. So if you're comfortable with that, if you're comfortable trading up to get a guy that you could have gotten this year at like 25, you have to take a look at it, it's all relative. He's the best for that draft, but I mean, you're not only playing people in that draft, you're playing in the NFL now with players that are in there currently. So, you know, you need to be out players that, you know, were the best in their draft class when they came out.
I do like his mentality though, that like, look, if all the other teams are throwing all their resources at quarterback, sometimes it's smart just to walk away from a table whose limits a little higher than yours. All right, I'm gonna play craps. You guys can play at the $500 a hand blackjack table this round. I'll come back next season. You guys chill. Keith Pardini, 9065. Hey Juan, you lose some weight? You're looking svelte. You are looking trim.
From the fucking tits up or what?
Yeah,
that's all you guys ever see of me.
That's all we want. We're all top heavy lovers here.
Oh yeah, You know, I'm trying. I've been getting up a little bit earlier and hitting the gym consistently. And
just,
you know,
cans of corn that you've been eating for lunch.
That's why I used to
trim out.
Like, honestly, I can eat the same freaking thing every day. Like, I'm that type of guy where I can, like, meal prep guy. Like,
yeah,
I'm a dude. I can eat the same shit every single day. No problem. The problem is a lot of times I eat some shitty shit every day, you know? but it's, I'm trying, you know. We're all trying to, you know, live long, have a good life.
We're all still kind of losing our winter coats, you know? Like, we all, like, football season is just like beer and wings every single Sunday. Holidays come creeping up on you. It's that, that's why, that's you know, 17% of the reason why I do a dry January every year. 83% is because it keeps me from being a raging alcoholic. Like I can drink as much as I want the other 11 months a year because I can rationalize it and say, well, I didn't drink all through January. Clearly I'm not an alky as I'm brushing my teeth with Jack Daniels. The other reason is it's just start losing that winter coat, that football weight.
That's bloat. Oof. Look, man, you know what's tough for me is not only do I have football Sundays, I have big time football Saturdays. So I've been blessed enough to have a family member who's very close to me. My cousin, he's like my older brother. He's 10 years older than me. He's like always like the one giving me the advice that my brother never gave me, right? And he does pretty well for himself. Yeah, he played baseball at USC. He has his own advertising agency and stuff like that. So he gets those suites at the USC games. And of course, I'm invited. And that shit is just like a smorgasbord. You just eat and drink all you want. It's like, it's hard to be good during the season when 2 out of the 7 days you're eating like an absolute dickhead
and not moving. Like you're on a couch
sitting there
watching TV.
Oh, God.
Doing just beer curls.
And he owns like
your curls.
He owns a beer company and they make like those like craft cocktails and the can things too. And so they're just like all over the place. Oh my God, dude.
213 calorie canned drinks.
Dude, that pineapple one is so freaking good.
Sam DeMann. Does anyone else knock on wood with them at the end? I find myself doing it all the time.
That's what I like to hear.
That's what I like to hear. Be a team. Be a windbag.
Come on.
Be a windbag.
Jump on. Join in or join out.
Sam DeMann, you lead us. You lead us. At the end. Until then, knock on wood if you're with me.